Okay, Shalom uvracha to everybody. Shalom uvracha and Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashan class learning. We will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribbono shel Olam, yi ratzon lefanecha al racham v'rachanan, shetezakeni hayom uvechol yom nishmar piyu lishonim v'lashon hara rechilus, v'azarim ledaber afilu al shiachi v'kol shekein haklai Yisrael al achelek mehem, kol shekein mitzrayim amidosov shel kodesh baruch hu, v'azarim ledaber devei sheker chanufa mecholkas ka'as, gaiva ona as dvarim halbanas panim beitzanis v'chol dibur asar, v'zakeni shel ledaber kim daber hatzarich l'yani gufi v'nafshi, v'yukom asai v'diburay l'shem shamayim amin v'amin. As always, we are learning the Zeichen Nishmasun, the Ilui Nishmasun, Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yovachan, Alav Hashem. The Shem Shav, a continuous Zechir and Aliyah Latova, and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share together today. Also, is this Chos for the Aliyah and Zechir Latova of the Neshama of Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya, Zichrona Levracha, and with your permission, it's Chos for continued Refuah for Bracha Avigayabas, Bracha Gita, Besoch Sh'archo Le Yisrael. Okay, so let's get back into our learning. Last time we finished the Mashach Chachma, we had a very, very beautiful piece on the Mashach Chachma, Kisei Se Mechana Al Avecha, V'nishmar to be called Dibura, V'nishmar to be called Davara, Dibura, took us a couple of weeks. It was related to the Arba Lashon Ke'ula, V'hotzeis, he says in Mashach Chachma, is related to the Inyan of Shmiras HaDibur, on the merit of not speaking Lashon Hara, that people were redeemed from Egypt. We first did the Meshech Chachman Shmos, then we went to Meshech Chachman Devarim. If you missed those shirim, they are my Yutara, highly recommend. So what we're going to do now is, if you remember, we were actually in the middle of the letter of Vilna Gaon. I don't know who remembers that we're in the middle of the letter of Vilna Gaon. We meet only every other week, so we started it a couple of months ago, and then we ended up doing some other things. So we're going to go back now to this letter of the great Gra, the Vilna Gaon. I'm just going to recap some of what we previously learned, because it was two to three months ago. So just why are we doing this letter of the Vilna Gaon? What was this great letter of the Vilna Gaon? Why is it famous? And as you will see, there is a particularly strong focus that he leaves to his family on the Inyan of Shmiras HaLashon, a large portion of this letter, which he penned when he believed he was going to make Aliyah and go to Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately, he did not make his dream come to fruition. However, a large part of this letter speaks on the power of tongue and guarding and watching one's tongue. So I'm just going to recap, not really doing the extra insights we did, but I'm going to recap just so we're all holding on the same page, pun is intended, and we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. So the introduction, this letter is actually reprinted in the Sefer Great Jewish Letters by Moshe Bamberger. So that's the source that I'm using. The letter of the Gra, Rav Eliyahu Vilna, the Gaon of Eliyahu Vilna, 1720 to 1797, also known by the acronym the Gra, was one of our nation's most brilliant Torah sages. He had a tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael. He set out to go there sometime between the years of 1759 and 1773. So some point closer to the end of his life, he set out to go to Eretz, middle of his life, to Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a famous letter called the Igeres HaGra from the city of Königsberg, addressed to his wife and family to provide them with encouragement and guidance in his absence. It is replete with essential lessons for modesty and piety. It seems the Gaon eventually intended to bring his family to Eretz Yisrael as well. For unknown reasons, he aborted his journey and returned to Vilna. He did not reach the Holy Land, but he would inspire his disciples to do so, and they led the way for the Ashkenazi settling of the land in the early 19th century, 1800s. Okay, so I'm not going to read the whole beginning of the letter because it will take us too long, and I want to get to new material. However, I've just chosen an excerpt of what to read to you, and then to get us up to where we are and why we are talking about this letter in a class that focuses on Shmir Salashim. Okay, so I'm starting a bit of the way in, right, and I'm just going to read it. What is this world whose days are full of anguish and pain? What is this world? The days of this world are filled with anguish and pain. When we were standing on Har Herzl last week for the Shloshim of Elisha Yehonatan Lober, which I'm going to be speaking about later in Shir, standing next to all the fresh, not all, standing next to rows of many fresh kvarim, of Chayelim Kedoshim, Shemasu Nafsham HaKiddush Hashem, who fell in defense of Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael Medina Yisrael. I was thinking to myself when we were standing there, saying to myself, Shalna Alacha Me'al Raglecha Ki Amakom Asher Ta Omer Alav Armas Kodeshu. There's so much loss, there's so much bereavement, there's so much pain. What is this world, says the Vilna Gaon, whose days are full of anguish and pain, which prevent one from sleeping? Neither is death a source of hope. Man will be judged for everything he says. Even the slightest expression is not overlooked. Therefore, I exhort you to train yourself to sit alone as much as possible. because the sin of the tongue is the most severe. As the sages teach, Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. I do not have to elaborate on this most serious sin of all, he quotes from Kohelas. All man's toil is for his mouth. Our sages said all man's mitzvahs and teachings are not enough to counterbalance what comes out of his mouth. All of the mitzvahs we do, all of the limudim we do, Chazal say, are not enough to counterbalance what comes out of one's mouth. What should be man's pursuit in this world? You should be silent, quoting Maseches Chulin. One must seal his lips as tight as two millstones. Idle words are like powerful weapons that can reach from one end of the world to the other. Now, this is true concerning mere excessive speech. When forbidden speech is concerned, lashon hara, mocking, leitzanus, I forgot to say the tefillah dibur. No, I didn't. Did I forget to say the tefillah dibur? Yes, I did. I said it. Okay, fine. I slept last night, so I shouldn't be jet lagged. When forbidden speech is concerned, for example, lashon hara, mocking, swearing, vowing, fighting, and cursing, especially in shul, and on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for every utterance of this type, it is impossible to imagine the pain and suffering one will receive, quoting the Zohar. No word is lost. Everything is recorded. Winged beings, attach themselves to everyone, recording all that is said. For the birds of the sky may carry the sound, and some winged creature may tell them out. A pasuk from Kohelas. Furthermore, Kohelas says, let not your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Do not tell the messenger it was an error. Why should God be angered by your speech and destroy the work of your hand? So that entire paragraph, and again, I'm not quoting extra sources we did or the psukim inside because I don't want to take the time. But the entire paragraph is a very, very strong tochacha and musar, a reminder. I know every single word. And the beginning is just on the power of excessive speech. But however, for lashon hara, mocking, swearing, vowing, fighting, and cursing, says the Zohar, every utterance of this type, it is impossible to imagine the pain and suffering one will receive. Therefore, he suggests that you should purchase all your needs through a messenger, even if it will cost two or three times as much. In other words, don't go down to the marketplace. In the marketplace, you will meet people. And when you meet people, invariably, you're going to start to speak to them. And when you start to speak to them, probably it's going to end up to be lashon hara. Purchase all your needs through a messenger, even if this would cost two or three times as much. Quoting a pasuk from Devarim Ba'aloscha, is there a limit? Tayyad Hashem tiktzer. Is there a limit to what Hashem can provide? Hashem feeds all creatures. Don't worry. If it costs you more, but it saves you from lashon hara, from avoiding going to the marketplace, buy it through the messenger. Hashem feeds all creatures. Don't worry about your parnasa. Worry about your speech, from the greatest to the smallest, and provides all their needs. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, do not speak at all about things that are not urgent. Be brief, even with what is important. That the Shabbos is very holy, and our sages barely permitted the exchange of greetings on Shabbos. See how strict they were concerning a single expression. Continue to give great honor to the Shabbos as when I was there. Remember, it's like a goodbye letter because he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Do not cut back on your Shabbos expenses, since man's entire sustenance from the year, we've learned this, Maseches, we learned actually in Shabbos Kodesh here, Maseches Beitza 16a, since all man's expenses are fixed besides for Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, sending your children to learn. I implore and plead with you, guide your daughters very carefully to refrain from cursing, swearing, lying, and fighting. Rather, everything they do should be done peacefully, with love, affection, and gentleness. So, two very long paragraphs, all revolving around Shmiras HaLashon. I have left behind several Yiddish books on Musar, and it's very interesting. One of my children yesterday was saying that they want to go into the a certain store, a Judaica store. They want to go into the Judaica store. They're not sure if they're going to buy anything. They want to just look, enjoy looking, they're not sure they're going to buy. So I said, you know, are you taking money with you? If you're going in, remember we learned this, that if you're going into the store without any intention to buy and without money so that you could potentially buy its own non-stvarim. Does anyone remember from the people I see that we learned this? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. So I just told it to one of the children yesterday. I said, you have to make sure you have money, that if you see something that you want, now, of course, if you don't see anything you want, but you have the intent to buy. Okay, I said, if you see something that you want, then you have to make sure you have money to buy. Otherwise, it's actually, remember we learned that we spend some time in it. It's actually a non-store to go in the store. We're not talking about like a Target, a Costco. We're talking about a small Jewish-owned store where every time a person comes in, the proprietor might think that they're going to make a sale. So the child said, no, they have money. Of course, if they see something, they're going to buy. It's not just looks. I said, okay. And they came home with three svarim, so it was not. But it's just we have to apply this learning to our lives. We have to try to integrate what we learn during this time period of Shemar Halashon class into our everyday lives. It's a huge avodah, but we have to try to make it part of who we are. That's the whole point of the learning. I've left behind several Yiddish books on Musar, says the Vilna Gaon. Sees that the children read them constantly, especially on the Holy Shabbos, when Musar is the only thing they should read. Always instruct them according to Musar books. Do not hold back from disciplining them. You know what he says? When should you discipline them? When they curse, swear, or lie. Once again, when do they need Musar? When do they need discipline? He goes back to Inyani Dibur, curse, swear, or lie. Do not be lenient with them, because parents will be punished severely for the corruption of their children, God forbid. Even if one constantly teaches them Musar, but they do not follow the Musar, one's sorrow and shame in the world to come will be great. The same is true in other matters, such as Lashon Hara and Rechilos. I'm actually not embellishing this at all. It's quite unbelievable how the great Gra, I mean his Chedushei Torah, are so brilliant. It was such a long day yesterday and getting everything back in order. I asked one of my boys, but we didn't have time to go through it. There's a tremendous word of the Vilna Gaon on Bishalach. B'nei Yisrael ha'chu b'yavasha b'so chayam v'hamayim lahem chomim minim v'mismalim. Okay, I can't tell it to you because I don't remember what it is. But the Vilna Gaon, who is such an unbelievable, doesn't need me to say anything about him. Gadol, when he was leaving, what he chooses to focus on to his family is in Yanni Deeper. Let's go on. The children's eating and drinking should always be preceded and followed by the appropriate blessings, brachos, which is also, by the way, an expression of speech. They must be careful to say the blessings, birkos hamazon, and kriya shema with proper kavana. Most importantly, they must not wander outside the home. They must obey and respect you and my mother, says the Vilna Gaon. He's speaking to his wife, you and my mother, and all their elders. They also need to observe all that is written in the Musar books. Okay, that is where we are up to, keeping in mind that I skipped the whole beginning of the letter. Okay, now let's go to new information, new material. And he continues to speak about the importance of not only Dibur, but what do we take with us to the next world? And what is the greatest legacy that a person leaves behind in this world? Raise your children as well, correctly and sensitively, and pay their tutor well. For a man's entire sustenance, he quotes from the Gemara that he quoted previously in the two paragraphs above, man's entire sustenance for the year is fixed from Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah, except for, I never saw this, he gives the acronym of Tishrei. It's an easy way to remember. It's Maseches Beisa Tes Zayim. So the Gemara says, Mizono Savsha Adam Kvutzin Lomi Rosh Hashanah Va'ad Me Yom Kippur Ad Rosh Hashanah Me Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The person's sustenance is fixed. And then the Gemara says, in other words, you can work as much as you want. It's like the person who tries to push the front of the train. When someone says, why are you pushing the front of the car? So he says, I need to get to my place faster, so I'm pushing the front of the car. So the other passenger says, you're not going to get wherever you want faster just because you push the front of the car. There's someone driving the train. There's a conductor. You pushing the front of the car is not going to make it work. So Hashem decides our sustenance. But the Gemara says, except for, we learned this in Shabbos Kodesh class, tuition, Talmud, telling your children to learn, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov. So it says here that in the letter, the Vilna Gaon wrote as an acronym, Tishrei. It's easy to remember because it's in Tishrei that our sustenance is determined. Tishrei, he writes, stands for Talmud, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov. Did you ever hear that, the people I could see? Me neither. I thought that was so nice. Okay, so we should know that our entire sustenance is fixed in Tishrei for Tishrei. In Tishrei, meaning the Yamim Naran, for Tishrei Talmud, which refers to sending your children, paying for Jewish education, Shabbos, Shin, Reish Rosh Chodesh, and Yud Yamim Tovim. So he's saying do not skimp when it comes to making Shabbos, Yom Tov, and sending your children to school. Pay your children raise your children well, and pay their tutor well. And then he quotes that Gemara. I've also left books for them. For Hashem's sake, guide them well and gently. Take care of their health, make sure they have enough to eat. First, have them learn the entire Chumash. So what should you start with? They need to learn the entire Chumash and seem that they know it almost by heart. The learning must be done without undue pressure, rather gently. It is best absorbed when one is relaxed. Give them coins, etc., as a reward. So there needs to be some sort of tangible reward for the children, a sense of accomplishment. The first thing they have to do is they have to learn Chumash almost by heart. Always focus your attention on these matters and not others. In other words, always focus your attention on Torah, on Asiyas HaTov, on Limudim, on Shmiras HaLashon. Why? Because all else is trivial. For a man can salvage nothing from his labor to take with him. Man can salvage nothing from his labor to take with him. You know, when we were standing in Har Herzl, we were there two times. Last Tuesday, we were there for the Levaya of Elkanah Yehuda Sfez, Hashem Yukom Damo. He was one of the 21st soldiers that the IDF announced last Monday fell. So on Tuesday, we were there for his Levaya, Elkanah Yehuda Sfez, Hashem Yukom Damo. And then Thursday, we were back for the unbeknownst to us that happened to be the timing that we arrived there at the beginning of the Shloshim for Elisha Yehonatan Ober. We were there for the Levaya. There were, I would say, a couple hundred people there, for sure. I don't know, a few hundred people there. So after the Levaya, Rachmana Litzlan, they asked everyone to clear out quickly because the next Levaya was starting. There were four Levayas last week on Har Herzl alone. Besides for all the other ones in the other military cemetery. So I just went to the front quickly. I wanted to just go up to the front. They asked us to leave quickly, so I wanted to go back to Har Herzl. So we went on Thursday, unbeknownst to us. We arrived in time for the Shloshim of Elisha Yehonatan Lober. But it was much less people. Maybe it was 50 people. Family, Rabbanim, some friends, many Hasidim. But we were standing right by the Shloshim. And there were so many, Rachman Al-Tzan, fresh Kvarim. One of the Kvarim was a soldier who my son and I went to pay Bibinacham Avel on Sunday. So Sunday we went an hour. We were there for 55 minutes. We sat with the family, spoke to the Safta, the mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, the soldiers, the Fakade, commander of his unit, the Rav of Sayaret was there when we were there. So Sunday we went to Bibinacham Avel. We were in the Avel tent for 55 minutes. They were very interested in speaking to us. We were the only Americans. He was an Ethiopian soldier, Dati family. And Tuesday, we ran Har Herzl for the Levaya of Elkanah Yehuda Sfez. And then on Yom Chamishi, we were back at Har Herzl for the Shloshim of Elisha Yonatan Lober. That person really has to think to themselves. The Vilna Gaon says, focus your attention on these matters, Dvarim Sheva Kedusha, and not on other matters, because all else is trivial. Man can salvage nothing from his labor to take with him. And he's actually quoting a pasuk from Kohelas. The pasuk from Kohelas is Kasher Yatzem Mibeten Imo. I looked at the pasuk, it's Kohelas, Perakei, Pasuk Yadalad. Kasher Yatzem Mibeten Imo Arum. Just like one comes out, he emerges from the womb of his mother naked. What do we have when what does a baby have when they emerge from the womb of the mother? Kasher yatzami beten imo arum, yashuv lalachas kushaba. Just like a baby comes out from his mother's womb naked, there's nothing. Yashuv lalachas kushaba. At the time of the patira, the yitzias and neshama, he takes nothing with him. He returns as he came. Ume uma lo yisab amalo sheyech biado. And from all the toil of his hands, he can carry nothing with him. I want to say the name of the Ethiopian soldier. As I said, the name of the Halavai we went to in the Shloshim, he was Ethiopian. So I don't know why, but Uriel, I think his name was Uriah or Uriel. I'll tell you, Uriah. He was 21 years old. The family lives in Gilo. Uriah Imalik Goshen. Uriah Imalek, Aleph Yud Mem Lamech Kuf Goshen, and he's buried just a few kvarim away from Elisha Yehonatan Dober, and Alkana Yehuda Sfaz, Uriah Imalek Goshen, Hashem Yikun Demo. So v'chal time. Vilna Gaon says, always focus your attention on these matters and not others. All else is trivial. A man can salvage nothing from his labor to take with him. Kasher yatsam ebetin ima arum, yashuv lalechas kashava. Umu uma lo yisha ba'amalo sheyelech b'yado. All man can take with him, says the Vilna Gaon, is two white garments, his burial shrouds. Although we know that when soldiers fall in battle, they do not even have a tahara process. That's my understanding. I've heard this from a number of different sources. They do not have a tahara process because they are Torah Mekadoshim, and they fall buried in their uniform and in whatever they fell. But we understand what the Vilna Gaon is telling us. So does a person take with him the clothing which he is buried in, two white garments, burial shrouds? Also, the pasuk tells us in he quotes Tehillim Memtes. Ach lo fada yifta ish, a man will not redeem his brother. I cannot redeem someone else. They're going to ask me in Shamayim, was I Micharet or wasn't I Micharet? Ach lo fada yifta ish, a man cannot redeem his brother. Continues the psalmist, it's Kapitel Mem Tes. The next psukim are very famous. Al tira ki asher ish kir bekvod biso, ki lo b'maso yikach hakol, lo yared acharav kivodo. Fear not when a man grows rich, for when he dies he shall carry nothing away. Furthermore, says the Vilna Gaon, do not say, I will leave a portion for my children. Who will tell you in the grave? Do not think what we leave over for our children in fleeting matters of materialism are simply that, fleeting. The true wealth that we bequeath to our children is in spiritual matters and how we live our lives. And then he quotes from Maseches Ervin, 54a. The children of man are like grasses of the field. Some blossom and some fade. Yeah, I just think it's also extremely interesting. This is where we're up to. This is new information. We came back yesterday from Baruch Hashem 9 days, in 9.5 days in Eretz Yisrael. So I just thought it was so interesting that this is where we're up to. And it relates very much to part of what I experienced when I was there, and the musa that we have to take for ourselves. When a man dies, he shall carry nothing away. Do not say, I will leave a portion for my children. He means in Gashmius. Gashmius is fleeting. Gashmius is here today and gone tomorrow. Of course, we need it to live. Yes, we need clothing to clothe ourselves, food to be healthy, grape juice, wine, anavim for kiddush. It has to all be elevated to avodas Hashem. The children of man are like grasses of the field. Some blossom and some fade. Everyone, says the Vilna Gaon, is born under his constellation and divine providence. Woe to all who plan to leave their wealth to their children. The only reward from sons and daughters is through Torah and good deeds. Of course, again, we need gashmis to live. We need food. One of the things we did, an amazing, relatively new museum. You know the burned tanks that you would always see? They've repainted them, they're now white, but the burned tanks and jeeps on the side of the road when you would go from Tel Aviv Ben-Gurion up to Jerusalem, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay. So now they're not in their original spot, they're repainted. I remember they would be like that brown, that orange, that burnt rust color. You know what I'm talking about, yes? So there's a new museum there. It's fascinating. I highly recommend it. A friend, an Israeli close friend, is the one who recommended it to us. We also did that. There were many busloads of soldiers when they were there. So I asked one of them, it was pouring Baruch Hashem, we were standing under an awning. So I said, can I ask why there's so many soldiers here? And I told him, I think they're here because of education. They're here because they should know what they're fighting for. And that's exactly what the soldier said. He said, they go on like a 3-day trip to different historical sites. And this is where he said, you know, it's a very Zionistic place and we're here to learn about the history. It's for chinuch, it's for education. It's fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's a new museum. It's only about 20 minutes outside of Jerusalem. And it's the story of the siege of Yerushalayim in 1948. The story of the siege of Yerushalayim in 1948. The burned cars, the tanks, the convoys that tried to break the siege. How many lost their lives? When they interview, there's a movie and they interview documentary, whatever, I don't know, part of the museum exhibit is the documentary that they interviewed the actual fighters who in 1948 took part in these convoys. So one of them said, when we got to Yerushalayim, the people, they had to bring medicine, ammunition, food, clothing. The people in Yerushalayim had nothing. They didn't have water to wash their clothing or children. They didn't have food. So one of the soldiers, I mean, he's now at Meiv Esam Shana. Yeah, Shar Hagai. Yes, correct. You were there, Millie? It's amazing. So one of the soldiers said when they got to Yerushalayim, thank you for saying the name because I had forgotten. My Israeli friend made the booking and arranged it for us. When they got to Jerusalem, and one of the convoys broke through and they managed to get there, the Yerushalmi said to them, you are soldiers? We thought they were sending soldiers. You are children. He says, we were 16 years old. People in Yerushalayim said, you're soldiers? You're children. This is who's fighting. And one Arab Shabbat, they arrived with truckloads of fish, dagim. And the people in Yerushalayim were overjoyed. They said, fish, dagim, you brought us fish for Shabbat. Why am I telling you this? Because one of the things in the museum, in the interactive part, they had to decide, should they bring ammunition or food up to the people in Yerushalayim? Supplies were limited, truck space was limited, fighters were limited. It was a time of great deprivation and tremendous losses. All the soldiers' children, whoever was part of the convoys, knew that every time a convoy set out, some of them would not return. The night before, they would dig graves. So they had to decide ammunition or food. What should they take? People in Yerushalayim were starving. So they told them from Yerushalayim, they sent a message, and the fighters in Yerushalayim said, we can fight without food, but we can't fight without ammunition. So they sent ammunition. Of course, we need gashmis. It doesn't mean we don't need gashmis. We need gashmis to live. If we don't have food, we can't live. If we don't have clothing, it'll be a very big problem. But a person does have to remember, kasher yatsa mebeten ima arum yashuv alachas kushaba umeuma lo yisab amalo sheich biyado. We need to channel all the gashmis that we have to make it part of our avodas Hashem. The only reward from sons and daughters is through their Torah and good deeds. Do not say, I will leave a portion for my children. Who will tell you in the grave? The children of a man are like grasses of the field. Some blossom and some fade. Everyone is born under his consolation and divine providence. So I wasn't even planning to share it in this shir, but I think it relates very much to where we are up to in this letter of the Vilna Gaon. I'm first going to show you who Elisha Yonatan Lobro is. And then I'm going to go to, after the Shloshim, there were two tables in the back of this new section under the tent, this new chalaka. It's chalaka Aleph, or it's chalak Aleph, chalaka Shmona Yurches. The reason I knew where to go on Thursday is because we'd been there on Tuesday for the Levaya. Unbeknownst to us, there was a shloshim, which I didn't know was going to be there. We stayed for the whole thing. So there were two tables in the back. The parents, actually, I'm going to get it to show you in a sec. It was on Tu B'Shvat. Elisha Yehonatan Lo B'Shloshim was on Tu B'Shvat. So there was a table set up in the back with this little packet. And there's different food in it. It's small. It's like a little like pekala. On the front it says, Berchos Brachot L'Zeicher. Elisha Yehonatan Hashem Yukam Damo. So what does it say? Berchot L'Zeicher Elisha Yehonatan Hashem Yukam Damo. Ben Chagai David V'Tichya Lober. Ule Gulat Yisrael. Mizonot Ugia. Ha'et Tamar. Adama Botnim Shahakol Shukaria. So there's a cookie and a date and peanuts and a candy. That tells you what bracha to make. Also on the table were plants, small plants, that his wife, Elisha Yehonatan's young wife, also gave out. We did not take a plant. I didn't think I could bring that back to America. It was pretty small, though. I guess maybe it was a will. There's a way. I don't know. Maybe I could have. And she had a, she wrote a letter. She included this letter with his plant. So first I'm just going to show you who Elisha Yonatan Lobro was. And then we will go over the note that his wife wrote and included with her plant. So could you see my screen, Staff Sergeant Elisha Yonatan Lobro, laid to rest. Fine. This is from the time when he fell. Okay. This is his almana, who he met, and her father, who he spoke with, and the 10-month-old child, baby. On Wednesday morning, family members and friends attend the funeral of Staff Sergeant Reservist Elisha Yonatan Lober, killed in battle in the Gaza Strip, while the body was on Har Herzl. At the request of the family, the funeral procession opened with the singing of a Hasidic tune, the same one which was played as Yonatan walked to his wedding ceremony. Aviyah Lober, who I was able to speak to, Yehonatan's widow, eulogized in tears, "My love, how much you love this country. When you spoke of it, I was jealous. This war was everything for you. You were so sincere. I begged you not to die. The birth is in 2 months. You are coming. I am not going alone," cried Aviyah. She was expecting. His father-in-law, Rabbi Eyal Greiner, head of the Tefachot Yeshiva, also was maspid. "You are such a spiritual person. You were a true chassid, outwardly and inwardly. For 2 years, you cared and protected Aviyah. You had not to protect your people and your country, to protect the light that will continue to shine. We ask you not to stop, to continue to protect everyone." His father eulogized him as well. Chagai Lober said there also were many Hasidim at the Shloshim. "Yehonatan, my beloved son, we merited to be your parents. You are a gentle, emotional, and believing person without an ounce of rough attitude or cynicism. You never had a smartphone because of those bad things. You were born to be a dreamer, not a fighter. Since Simchat Torah, you have become a fierce warrior, ready to go out to battle." The father, Chagai, said, "I want to say that Yehonatan is no longer just my son. He is also your son. Before Simchat Torah, we all went through a difficult time. We felt our beloved nation was falling apart. The enemies came and reminded us. The cursed enemies came and reminded us. We are one nation. Quote, we are forced to speak to each other." Obviously, he means in kindness and understanding. "And fight side by side." One more thing about Elisha Yehonatan Lober, if you recall from when he fell, which I recalled vividly, once I realized who Shloshim I was at. This was the last picture taken of Elisha Yehonatan Lober in Gaza, shortly before he fell. This is his 10-month-old baby who was being shown a video of his father. I remember this vividly. It was only a month ago. Does anyone else remember when he fell? His baby was shown a video of the father, and these are his two first cousins coming up to their yahrzeit. The Yaniv brothers, if you remember, last February in Huwara, they were murdered shortly after the... What were the two little boys at the bus stop? Type it, Esti, please. They were murdered. They were 19 and 21. They were his first cousins. Correct, the Paley brothers. Thank you. Staff Sergeant Reserve Elisha Yehonatan Lober was the third grandson of Rabbi Shmuel Yaniv to be killed this year. He was a first cousin to Hillel and Yigal Yaniv, who were murdered in a terror attack in Huwara. They were on their way back to their yeshiva in February. He was a resident of the yeshiva of Yitzhar and the Shaman, who I spoke to when we walked down the path. So there were two young men, and one of them was taking out the cookie. So I said to him, "Ani ana amen." So he made the bracha, I said amen, and I asked him if they knew Yehonatan. They said they were in yeshiva together with him in Yitzhar. He was the third grandson of Rabbi Shmuel Yaniv Tefal this year. Yehonatan was a resident of Yitzhar in the Shamran. He was an Avreich in Yeshivas Ruawei Yisrael. He was a coordinator of the Yeshiv's youth group. He left behind a pregnant wife and a baby, his parents, and 8 siblings. Only 2 hours before he was killed, Yehonatan's father filmed his grandson beaming at a photo of his father. Prior to his death, Yehonatan wrote to his youth group in Yitzhar, "We are still training here. This Shabbat is the time to breathe Torah, to recalibrate what Hashem wants from me. Daven for me." I told this over when he fell. I don't know if anyone remembers, but I spoke about this when he fell. So here's a picture of, this is the last picture of Elisha Yonatan Lober learning in Gaza. This is his infant baby son, 10 months old, seeing a picture of his father just 2 hours before he fell. And these are the Yigal and Hillel Yaniv, who were murdered, his first cousins. Okay, so I'm going to go to, I did not get a plant. By the time we went to Bactiva, there were no plants left, even if I would have taken one home. I didn't realize they had given one out, so I met his two friends farther down the path. And one of them was making a brach on the cookie, and the other was holding the plant, and I asked if I could see it, and I saw that it included this note. So let's look at this note together, and I think it relates very much to what the Gaon is speaking about. Man is like a grass of the field. Some blossom and some fade. It was Tu B'Shvat. His shoshim was on Tu B'Shvat. We have to ask ourselves, do we want our blossom, our neshama, our lives to blossom? Or chas v'sham, do we want to live lives that simply fade away into oblivion? The choice is in our hands. Moshe Rabbeinu clearly says, v'charta b'chaim l'man ticha. The only thing we can control, kol b'dei shemayim chutz mir shemayim ikav, Devarim 10:12, ma sham l'kecha sh'al mimach. A person really has to ask themselves, what's the way I live my life? Because all of the gashmis things that are an end unto themselves fade away. And the Vilna Gaon says, woe to all who plan to leave over physical wealth to their children. Again, we clarify. The people in Yerushalayim in 1948 didn't have clothing, didn't have fish for Shabbat, didn't have ammunition, didn't have medicine. Didn't have food. When they got food, they said, fish, you brought us fish for Shabbat. What is the point of utilizing Gashmius? What do we leave over? What are our payros? For what do we toil? What is the purpose of our speech? Why did Hashem give us mouths? And you're going to see, by the way, this happens to be on this paragraph that we're mamish up to is contemplating the fact that we can either blossom or fade. And what will we take to the grave? And we can't leave anything over. But he's going to go back to Shemir Salashon. For example, I'll tell you, the next paragraph, which I don't think we're going to get to today, read this letter every week, especially on Shabbos and during the meal, in order to prevent idle talk and even worse Lashon Hara and the like. Just happens to be that exactly where we're up to relates to one of the experiences as part of Am Yisrael that I was painfully zocha to take part in last week. So I'm going to now screen share the note with you that his almana left. He was 24 when he fell. You'll see the letter. No, whatever it is. Okay, here we go. Can you see? Yes, very good. Let me get my pointer. Okay. B'siyata d'shmaya. She denak of a hesped, Amana denak of a hesped, many gave hespedim. After a lot of Tehillim, two pages of Tehillim, they gave out a paper. Then Kaddish by the father and the brothers. Then many hespedim, some from the army, a number of Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshiva, his brothers, his mother, his father, many hespedim. Then Kalmai Rachamim, the Amana Shatechia was just really sitting by the cave the whole time. I saw the little boy, sometimes he wanted to be with his mother, grandfather was holding her friends, family. And then at the end, she was sitting at the head of the cave next to the tombstone of her husband, which is when I went over to speak to her. Hayom Tu B'Shvat. Hayom Shloshim, the Kruat Yehonatan. Today is Tu B'Shvat. Today is the Shloshim, and when we buried Yehonatan. Bayom Hazel Lefnei Shnatayim, Hichlatanu Lehitchatein. And Tu B'Shvat, exactly 2 years ago, Elisha and Avia, Yehonatan, they call him Yehonatan. His name is Elisha Yehonatan, but they call him Yehonatan. I asked the friends who were down the path. They were friends with him from the Yeshiva and Yitzhar. They called him Yehonatan. So Yehonatan and Avia, exactly 2 years ago, decided to get married. Let's say the Derech Chadashah B'Yachad. We decided to forge our own new path together, a new path in life. Hanayam ani misayemet kufasha aveilut al ha'avdon ha'atsum shal ha'yachad shalanu al pnei adama. And today I conclude this period of mourning for this tremendous loss that we were on a life together on the face of this earth. B'Tu B'Shvat hazeh anachnu yotzim l'derech chadashah shal yachad chadash. And on this Tu B'Shvat, unlike the Tu B'Shvat of 2 years ago when we decided to cast our lot together and journey together. On this Tu B'Shvat, we depart, we begin, we go out into a new journey that is new together. What does that mean? Milamata u milamala, from below and from above. Yohanan hishir lanu peirot. Tzuvishat. Yohanan left for us fruits at Nachman Yisrael, the little boy who was there. He left for us fruits. So what were the fruits? Nachman Yisrael, their son. Ubezad Hashem yalad nosaf, shivalad v'yitzmach l'ro. At the time of he fell, it said that she was, the birth is in 2 months. So she must, Bezad Hashem b'shat tovum b'tzachas, she must be due to give birth in just a couple of weeks, a few weeks. Yonatan Yishir lanu peirot. Yonatan left for us fruits. At Nachman Yisrael, the little baby that Nachman Yisrael, who's almost a year. Ubezad Hashem yalad nosaf, shivalad v'yitzmach l'ro. And Bezad Hashem, there's another baby coming who will be born, who will sprout in the light of his father. Ani rotza lahazmin otach. I want to invite you, she says, lintoa v'lahatzmich atzecha v'bayit u'balev, v'perotav shal Yonatan. This plant that I am giving out, said Aviyah, this young Amana, I invite you to plant and to cause to blossom by you in your house and in your heart. Take some of the fruits, the spiritual fruits of Yehonatan. The Vilna Gaon says, children of men are like grasses in the field. Some blossom and some fade. Always focus your attention on spiritual matters and not others, because all else is trivial. Because, quote in Kohelas, man can salvage nothing from his labor to take with him. Kasher yatsam mibetan imo arum yashuv alachas kishava. Everyone is born under a constellation and divine providence. The only reward is through Torah and good deeds. And he would say, "Lazminotach in Torah v'latzmich atzecha b'bayit u'balev miperotav shal Yonatan." I invite you to take this plant that I'm giving out, plant it, and watch it sprout in your home, in your heart. But the plant is only a physical representation of the spiritual fruits of Yonatan. What were his spiritual fruits? How did he live his life? Simcha, emunah, ahava, tzichok, regishut, ometz, amal, v'riv tov. Grab some of the simchas hachayim of Yehonatan. Tap into the faith of Yehonatan. Love your fellow Jew. Laugh. Regishut, emotions. Ometz, courage. Amal, amelis b'tora, toil, v'riv tov. Have a good heart. I want to point out that if a person manages to inculcate those mitos into himself, ties so much back to the letter of the Vilna Gaon, of course they never speak Lashon Hara, or idle chatter, or gossip, or curse words. Be very careful. Guard your daughters to refrain from cursing, swearing, lying, and fighting. Everything they do, says the Vilna Gaon, should be with love, peace, affection, and gentleness. And it says, "Lazminot chalin tov laatzmich atzecha b'bayit u'balev miperatav shal Yehonatan simcha amuna ahava tzchok rugishut ometz amal v'lev tov." I translated them all already. La'idei halicha b'darcho leitchaber v'lemshloach aleinu et oro. And if we go in His path, so says Amana, to cling to and to continue with us His light, anachnu milamata, v'hu milamata, we are down below. And he is up above. Hadamasha Eretz Yisrael Shel Mana Hikriv Yonatan Echayav Mechabeket Oto Achshav. The land of Israel, for on her behalf, Yonatan sacrificed his life. It's now hugging Yonatan. Bataman Gufo. It has ensconced the body of Yonatan within it. Me Aleinu. Heichan shatamid kiven libo nimtzat nishmato. Abavas me'aleinu, where he always directed his heart, nimtzat nishmato. He always directed his heart to living a more exalted life, and that's where now his soul is found. V'anachnu nisharnu be'emtza. His guf is being hugged by the land of Israel, where he gave his life. His neshama, which he always strove to reach higher, is up above. And we are left in the middle. Yimezchut lizchar lekayim v'la'asot. We are left in the middle, along with the merit to remember, to uphold, and to do. And she ends by quoting a pasuk I asked one of my children I brought home. I was showing it to them. I said, where is mi amar lemi? I used to say it to my daughter when she was in high school. I quote a pasuk and then say random, mi amar lemi. Kru itchem mizimrat haaretz. Yaakov Avinu told the Shvatim when they were going down to the viceroy for the second time. Kru itchem mizimrat haaretz. Mizimrat haaretz. I'm just going to read it. I know our time is up. I know you all have to go, and so do I. I'm just going to read it without translating it. Hayom tu bishvat, hayom shloshim lekvat Yehonatan. B'yam hazalef neishna taim, hichlatnu lehitchaten, atzet adar chadasha b'yachad. Hayom ani misayamet kufal shavailut alavdan ha'atsum shal yachad shalana al pnei adama. B'tu bishvat hazan nechni yotzim adar chadasha, shal yachad chadash, milamata umilamala. Yonatan yishir lanu pirot, at nachman Yisrael, bezrat Hashem, yalan osav, shivalev, yitzmach l'oro. Ani yotza lazmin otcha, lintov, latzmich, atzicha, bebayit, ubelev, miperotav, shay Yonatan, simcha, be joyful, ivdos Hashem, besimcha, bo lufana bernana. Amuna, anoch Hashem, otecha, shal sicha, mitzitzvayim, bebisavadim. Ahava, lo sikam, lo sitras, b'nei amecha, lahaf, l'arecha, kumocha, ani Hashem. Tzachok, azimal yishok, pinul, shoneinu rina. Rigishut, have feeling, have emotion. Live life by feeling life. Have emotion for the mitzvos. Have love for your fellow Jew. Don't go through life robotically. Ometz, racha zak va'ametz, ka'ata tancha es Yisrael ba'aretz. Amel, im b'chu kol zei teilichu, as mitzvos zei tishmaru, tiu amelim b'torah. 26:3 Vayikra. I'm just not telling you all the sources because I just don't have time. Leiv Tov, as I'll say in Pirkei Avos, what is the best midah that a person should have? Leiv Tov. Because a Leiv Tov encompasses all other midos in life. Vayidea lichu b'darucho litchaber v'lem shoch aleinu et oro. Enechnu milamata avuhu milamala. Adamasha eretz yisrael shalmana hikriv yonatan et chayav mechabeket oto achshav. Bo taman gufo me'aleinu. Echen shatamid kivein libo, minset nishmato. Anachnu nishayna ba'emtza. Mezchut lezchor lekayim v'la'asot, kichu itchem mizimrat haaretz. So Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue next time. Of course, I'm writing to you the words of the living God. Therefore, I am certain you will follow all I have written. Nevertheless, I must strongly advise you not to deviate from anything I have written. The tikra et ha'agerat hazot b'chol shavua. U'b'prat b'shabes kodem ha'achila u'b'toch ha'suda shelo yidubru dvarim b'telem chas v'shalom. Read this letter every week, especially on Shabbos, before and during the meal, in order to prevent idle talk, and even worse, lashon hara and the like. So, last Sunday, we went to be Menachem Avel, the family of Uriah Imalek Goshen, Hashem Yukom Damo, 21 years old. On Yom Shlishi, we attended the Levaya, Malav and Amis, the Kadosh of Elkana Yehudas Fez from Kiryat Arba. And then Yom Chamishi, we were back at her Herzl for the Shloshim of Elisha Yehonatan Ober. So they are now being hugged by the Grand of Eretz Yisrael. And the Neshamas have ascended to Olam HaEmes, but we must ask ourselves, what purpose do we live? What are the payros that they left behind that we can learn from? How can we ensure that our lives are worth living? And that Be'ezrat Hashem remembers that the focus of everything here is only to be misakin the people that we are, the neshamas that we have, to do good for Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, and ultimately, Kav Yachol, Kosh Baruch Hu, Teinish Masam Tzvar B'Tzvar Chayim, we should share only B'Soros Tovus V'Yeshuas. Thank you so much, everybody, for learning with me. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue in 2 weeks. Kol Tov.